Well, good morning, everyone. Jack Frost nipping at the toes this morning. You know who Jack Frost is? He's the one that painted the fields white with the frost. Well, we're nice and warm in here, and I trust the Lord will warm our heart as we look at his word today. Now, I'd like to be able to finish the study of Joseph today, but if we don't actually get it finished, at least we're on the last leg of this particular study. I want to look today at four wonderful parallels or likenesses to the events that took place in the story of Joseph and events that will happen at the end of this age. I was sitting there as we were singing the hymn, Jesus is Coming Again, and I was thinking to myself that when the Lord Jesus presented to us a picture of himself in the story of Joseph, he didn't leave out references to his coming again. Now, that's a subject that very often gets left out of pulpit ministrations and preachings, but it's not a message that you will find God neglecting. It's a message that has a very, very important part in the great story of God's purpose. After all, if you leave out preaching upon the second coming, it's like telling a story and then just stopping before you come to the end. And surely, if you got a book and the last 20 pages were missing, you'd be most frustrated. What happened? How did it end? You'd want to know. Well, there's one thing God wants us to know, and that's how things are going to end. How this world and its affairs are going to conclude. And the Lord includes that, or pictures of that, in the story of Joseph. And I think that's important for us to take notice. So I'm going to try and show you four parallels or likenesses in the story of Joseph and events at the end of the age. The first one is this. In the story of Joseph, God caused Joseph to become the center of attention of everyone in that area. Not just Egypt, but Canaan, and nations much further abroad as well. They were all suddenly made aware of Joseph. And you remember how that came about. We read in Genesis chapter 41, we're going to be moving about today, Genesis chapter 41, the verse 25, when Joseph is asked to interpret Pharaoh's dream, we read that Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. He had two dreams, but Joseph says they meant the same thing. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. And I want you to understand this. The seven good years and the seven lean years, God sent them. God sent them with a specific purpose in mind. God sent them in order to make Joseph the center of everybody's attention. He had been unknown. In fact, he had been in prison. Shame attached to his name. And then God sent circumstances into Egypt and that whole region that made every eye, every mind, every heart, every body in that place, in that area, think about Joseph. Visitors came to Egypt in their thousands, looking for food. And Pharaoh's direction was, go on to Joseph. He became the main figure in the affairs of that part of the world because of what God had done through the famine. Listen to me. That's how it's going to be at the end of this age. Nobody cares very much for the Lord Jesus now. I constantly read about reports that people are stopping going to church Of course, given the average church, I would hardly blame them. But they have no interest in God. Nobody reads the Bible or has any idea about the Bible or what's in it. Nobody's interested in the Lord Jesus. Just as it was with Joseph. Before God got everybody's attention and made every eye turn toward Joseph. That's how it's going to be at the end. Significantly, the famine lasted for 7 years. The last 7 years of this age will be years of trouble, years of anxiety and distress amongst the nations. Let me read to you some verses that we find in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, the verse 25 through to 27. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. There's going to be things starting to take place in this world that's going to get everybody's attention. It's going to get everybody's attention. And such will be the nature of those events that people will begin to think about God. Now, I'll not say that they'll think about him in the light of the gospel because they'll be in ignorance and darkness, but they'll become aware that there is a God. I was reading just the other day, I didn't read the whole story, I just saw the headlines actually. Some individual was in an accident and they thought that trapped as they were going to die. And the headline was, I kept saying, oh God help me, oh God help me. That fella never thought about God until he found himself in trouble. I've read of a Russian, and it's reported of them that when they're in trouble, they cry out, oh God, help me! I thought Russians were all atheists and didn't believe in God, and in their constitution, there's a denial of God. Man generally doesn't believe in God, but when trouble comes, he immediately has to acknowledge that there is a God. There is a God. And this world's going to have to acknowledge that one day. As all the nations round about Egypt had to acknowledge that there was only one who could help, this man Joseph, and they came to him looking for help. So it will be at the end of this age. There is a picture here of events toward the end of the age. 7 years. And 7 years at the end of this age will be years of distress and tribulation and anxiety, the like of which the world has never really known before. And thoughts will turn toward God. Oh, not in an evangelical sense. That is, they won't turn to the Lord looking for salvation through Jesus Christ, the only mediator. They'll still be in ignorance of the gospel truth, but they'll know there's a God. And they'll give thought to him. They'll give thought to him. Then the second thing I want you to notice is that right up until the end of this story, when Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, right up to that time, the brothers of Joseph couldn't understand Joseph. I mentioned this before, but I'm wanting to drive it home to you at this time. Look at verse 23 of Genesis chapter 42. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. In other words, Joseph spoke in Egyptian. His brothers couldn't understand Egyptian. So there was an interpreter who explained to them in their tongue, Hebrew, what Joseph was saying. They couldn't understand the words of Joseph. And do you know that that's how it is today? I might speak of Israel as the family of the Lord Jesus because he was an Israelite. and the family of the Lord Jesus, the national family, can't understand his words. The Jew can't understand the words of God. I read to you some verses from the New Testament. These are the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians, the chapter 3, and the verse 13, through to 16. Listen. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Paul is saying here that there's a veil over the eyes of the Israelite, so that when he reads the Old Testament, he doesn't see Christ and God's way of salvation revealed within the Old Testament. Doesn't see it. Doesn't understand it. That's why when the Lord Jesus came into this world, his own people knew him not. And when he preached, they couldn't understand his words. He said to them, you don't understand what I'm saying because you're not my sheep. You can't hear me, that is, understand me, because you're not my sheep. And it's still the same today. The Jewish people don't understand the words of God given to them, spoken to them. We have it pictured here. We have it pictured here. As Joseph's brethren came in to his presence, they didn't know him, nor could they understand his words. It's a wonderful picture of the state of affairs between national Israel and God today, and it will continue like that until the day when the Lord Jesus, just like Joseph, will say, listen, I'm Joseph. I'm Joseph, the one you rejected. And there is a day coming. We'll come to that in a moment or two. There is a day coming when there will be that meeting. The eyes and the understanding of Israel will be opened, and they shall behold the one who is their Messiah. All the parallels are there, boys and girls. As far as I am concerned, they jump out of the page and demand, as it were, that I preach them. And so I tell you today that just as Joseph became the focus of attention because of the troubles that God sent to that region, so one day, and it's coming soon, indeed, you would nearly think the beginnings of the troubles were arising, and the Son of God will become the focus of attention. Men will be made to acknowledge there is a God. There is a God. And the ignorance that Joseph's brethren had of what it was that Joseph was saying. Can't you see the men all standing there quite fearful, listening to Joseph speaking in the language of the Egyptians, and them saying, what's he saying? He know what he's saying. Can't you see that? I can see it in the mind. But there was a day of understanding soon to come. Soon to come. And so it is, boys and girls. Here's two likenesses, two parallels of events that will soon take place in this world. Now we'll leave it there and we'll come back again and we'll finish our study of Joseph. Let's bow together in prayer. Every eye closed. O God, our Heavenly Father, give us eyes to see and ears to hear so that we can understand what it is God is saying in his precious word. Bless the boys and girls today and the staff. We particularly pray for Miss Foster up there in hospital. Lord, I pray that soon she will be out again and enjoying health and strength. God is able. Hallelujah. Answer prayer for us all then this day for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.